This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
And we're here. Fan Club. Can I just double check? I'm having a panic attack. Am I recording? Are we recording?
We're recording. We're on.
And I pressed the right button, didn't I? I pressed the link. Did I do that in the previous show? Oh, it doesn't matter. So here we are. We're joined live. Live. Keep it up. Very good. Keep it up. That's from Natalie. Useless. We haven't even introduced the fucking show yet, Natalie, and you're already distracting us.
What is the show?
What is the show? You're listening to Nick
Helm
and
Nathaniel.
I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Nathaniel
Metcalf. Fan Club. Tell you what, why don't you listen to this?
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
There you go, that's who it is.
That's the show. What's the first rule of Fan Club?
I tell you this, is just be good to each other.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I think so.
Be good to yourselves and each other. Was that Jerry Springer? What was his one?
It's Bill and Ted. Be excellent to each other.
Be excellent to each other. What did he say at the end?
Who? Jerry Springer. He said...
be good to yourself. Be good to yourself and each other. Was that not it?
Probably. Something like that. It's very much cribbed from... Bill and Ted.
I saw Jerry Springer in a Starbucks once.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I wish I'd said something to him. I was quite excited. Yeah. But I sort of silently was thinking, it's Jerry Springer. He's a proper American celebrity.
What
in
would
a
you
Starbucks.
Have said if. It, which Starbucks?
It was a Starbucks on Wardour Street in Soho.
What year?
I reckon it'd be about 2013.
Right. So we're talking 5 years ago now. And what would you have said? Do you know what he was drinking?
I don't know.
Was he in the queue?
But he had a couple of people with him. Looked like bodyguard, like over the top, I would think. Because like, it's like, no one's really going to...
Not in 2013.
And I expect he's a type who probably would have said, bring us catchphrase, was look after yourself and each other. Which is why I said that. That's what I said.
I think we kind of said that. I think, Natalie, if we just decide that you only give us updates on something that we need to correct. Don't just like restate that, you know, we've already said something.
They're all in.
Oh, bloody hell. This is an absolute chaos, guys.
Absolute chaos.
And what would you have said to Jerry?
I'd probably said, oh, hello, Jerry. But then I would have felt, I don't know, because I would have wanted to be nice. But yeah, I couldn't really say I'm a big fan of the show or anything like that. I probably would have said, Jerry Springer. So it's probably a good thing I didn't speak to him.
Sure.
I probably just would have said his name or something.
Sure. Do you know what I'd have said if I were you?
What's that?
I'd say, hi, Jerry. My name's Nathaniel Metcalf. I'm on every day at 1:10 at the Counting House. How's your show going, Nathaniel?
It's going amazingly.
Is it really?
I've won the Edinburgh Awards.
This is the end or the beginning of the festival.
Possibly, depending on when they go out. But like, I think it's a shoe-in, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolute shoe-in.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even really going for awards this year either, but this...
do you know what?
But I've just smashed it anyway.
I'm not even going to think about the awards this year. Fucking hell. The arrogance of some people. Do you know what? If you're going into Edinburgh thinking about the awards, you can just go and fuck right off. Just go into Edinburgh. And I think the reward for going into Edinburgh is being able to entertain between... Three. I mean, I'd cancel a show if there was less than three. I wouldn't. Do you know what I mean? I've done shows to one person before. Paul F. Taylor, who's a guest later, we had seven Spanish people in that didn't speak English, and we performed to them.
A lot of wordplay in that show as well, wasn't
there? There was a lot of wordplay in that show. When we were in our double acts, we did Helman Taylor. I can't remember. Oh, Grebby Cates Love, it's Helman Taylor. We performed for like no one. It was, when was it? It was 2008. So there was, I think there was the Olympics on, and we'd always love the ones that we'd have to cancel because we'd go upstairs. Oh, well, we'll talk about this maybe later. But we'd go upstairs and watch the Olympics and sort of like just have a pint and watch the Olympics for our hour.
I'll tell you something that's tragic about that show. I didn't see it, Nick, but I remember I was only up for a week or something, a short time that year. But I remember it being on and thinking, oh, I'd like to see that. But I remember even I was going, oh, it's quite far out, isn't it? It wasn't in town enough.
No, it wasn't.
It felt like...
But kind of tragically, I didn't really ever feel that because I was in a flat that was right next door to the venue. So I was sort of like, I'd get up 2 minutes before the gig. I'd go in and do it because I think we were on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I think we were on about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'd get up 2 minutes before the gig, go into the pub, see Paul there, see, is there anyone here? And there would be no one there. And then we'd sit down, we'd watch the Olympics for an hour. And then I would go off and I was comparing another show. I was doing day spots and I was doing, I don't think they're called day spots in the industry
spots.
For. Yeah, I was doing like, yeah, but they were in
guest
the day.
Spots.
But they weren't guest spots at that time. You know, now it would be a privilege for people to have me. But back then, I was still very much chiseling out my career from a
piece of granite. So you
wouldn't
fly off the show, you'd just turn up.
What was the point? I'd have to go away from the venue and then go back again.
It's a bit like Food Bar Radio, isn't it? It's just around the corner from
just
where you
live. Just around the corner from where
I live. Very handy.
I mean, it is very handy. And that's what I love so much about telly, in a way, is that you just...
Chance to get out.
You get out, but then when you're actually performing, you're at home in bed. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you're just like, right, fine. Okay, you're letting the TV do the work for you. I like that, and the money. But I did like 4 or 5 shows that year, and that was the first one of the day. And so I'd have to sort of like rest. I think I'd fly out at the end of all of the other shows as the day went on.
Oh, for the day. Yeah, because it's an early one, isn't it?
I was doing like an early one, and then I was doing a mid-afternoon one, and then I was doing an early evening one, and then I was doing other stuff. And one of them was a full, like, it wasn't an hour, it was a 45-minute musical, but I was knackered after all of that. I suppose what I'm trying to tell people is I used to work very hard. I really wish I was fucking doing Edinburgh. What's it like? What are the sights and the smells like, Nat?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's I had a little haircut before I went to Edinburgh some weeks ago.
So you're going to get one next week?
You're going to get one, and I've had one.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it looked good.
Well, I tell you what, I did that thing because I was worried about having a haircut during Edinburgh because I thought, well, I'll have to find somewhere. But I thought it's going to be a bit long at the back, a bit scratchy at the back. So I thought I'll get a little haircut in the meantime before I go. Mm. And I said that to the. I said, "Oh, I just want a little, just a bit. I mean, it's all right at the front, but maybe a little bit off the side and back." But he really took it for granted, and like I was in the chair maybe 2 minutes. I sat in the chair. He went, "Oh, just a bit off the side and back," and he went, "Sure," and cut it, and then went this. And you go, "I guess, yeah." But then it felt like I hadn't had my money's worth. I felt like a bit short-changed. Yeah. But yeah. I did actually have what I asked for. It's like, what do you mean, like that? And you go, sure, yeah, I guess. And then no one has ever said since, oh, you've had a haircut.
No,
it's
sure.
Just been like,
well, I
just
mean,
barely looks different.
I said how much I liked your hair just then, but I really didn't notice a difference.
No.
I'm sorry to say that. But I used to cut my own hair. I used to just go, well, my hair's too long. I couldn't afford going to... Well, not just that, but I tell you what I'm not a fan of. Linking it in. Going to the bar. That's fan club. Going to the barbers. Really don't like it. I never ask for what I want because I feel like they'll think I'm a bloody merc. And I never ask for what I want. And then when they give me what I didn't want, which is what I've asked for, I'm always really humiliated. And then I have to leave in shame. So I just cut my own hair because if it's shit, at least I can just say, well, I did it myself.
For years, I hated it. It was like going to the dentist and I didn't like the small talk. Mm. And now I go to an old man who's about 80 odd who cuts my hair and he chats to me. He seems to think I'm funny, he always chuckles, but I don't think he's understood what I've said.
Sure.
I think he just likes me. Seems charmed by me, and at the end he offers me a sweet.
Yeah.
And he's like
Is that because he's a listener? Does he listen?
Oh, I hope so.
To fan club?
I think he's a big FUBAR fan in general.
How are the tweets going? Are we getting any live tweets in? No one's tweeting today. That's a shame. but, you know, not surprising, as it's a pre-record. So, but keep sending in that fan art. We absolutely bloody love the pictures of ourselves.
Fan art.
And I saw another four T-shirts in the street.
What did they say? What were the catchphrases?
One of them said Levi's, but I think that's a reference to the fact
that... It's a coded reference.
Coded reference to...
You did that denim joke, didn't you?
I did that denim joke either last week or the...
Or in the future.
Or in the future. And,
depending on when these live shows go out.
I just think I'm in a good place at the moment.
I'm glad, Nick.
I've just been on holiday. I went to Spain.
Or you went on holiday a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, sure. But it doesn't really matter because I'm not in Edinburgh.
Sure.
So I can do anything I want with my life, but you have to be in Edinburgh, right? For this facade for us to maintain this facade. I've just been on holiday, and we stayed in. I never really talk about my personal life. I don't really feel comfortable about it because people find out about you. But I have to in order to tell the story. I went on holiday with my girlfriend, and we went to Spain. And she knew a person that had a villa. And when we went out to Spain, we had a person that had a villa. What we didn't realise is it's got a DVD player and a VHS player.
So was it one of those ones in one?
Yeah. And it was very exciting, but I wish that I had bought my DVDs and my VHS.
Yeah,
so we were out there.
A big bag full of them.
We were out there, and we ended up, you know, when you get like a free DVD with like the Daily Mail and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right, which I never bought the Daily Mail, but my grandparents somehow managed to accumulate all of these stuff from the Daily Mail and the Mirror.
Do you want Brief Encounter?
Yeah, exactly.
In a cardboard box.
Do you know what? We had fucking Brief Encounter out there. We had Brief Encounter that was also a double with His Girl Friday.
Well, right? That's a classic, isn't it? Couple of classics.
Absolute couple of classics.
Couple of bangers.
but when you go to, like, my parents have one as well. My dad works at Oxfam Books in St Albans, and I always give him all the DVDs that I've got that I don't want, because then he ends up reselling them. They've had some like European versions of the Russ Meyer collection selling in, because I updated it with the British box set, and I just had all of these really weird kind of like European Russ Meyer movies that my dad was taking out to Oxfam Books in St Albans amongst I don't know what they thought
but
of
he
him.
Probably wouldn't know.
He didn't know, but I'm sure one of the people that he worked with knew, because they went missing. My dad has spent all of his retirement money on a little cottage in France. My dad and my mum, and so when you go out there, you've basically got all of these DVDs that you get off the front of a newspaper or a magazine. So you end up like very much in the hands of whoever dropped what off at the Oxfam. Anyway, so we went out to my girlfriend's friend's place in Spain, and they had about four or five DVDs. Well, one of them was His Girl Friday, one of them was
Brief Encounter,
Sexy Beast, Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe, and Neil Diamond's The Jazz Singer. Right? I hadn't seen Sexy Beast in a while, so we watched Sexy Beast. I hadn't seen Fried Green Tomatoes in a very long time. It used to be my sister's favourite film, I think she had sort of like a girl crush on Mary Stuart Masterson, who is also in Some Kind of Wonderful, and I mean, she's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But Some Kind of Wonderful is the film that Pretty in Pink basically wishes it was. And so we watched Fried Green Tomatoes. That is such an amazing film. What I think is really great about it is it's basically all of the heroes in it are females.
Yeah.
All of the men in it are awful or weak or somehow ineffective in some way. But not in like a... In kind of like a, they're flawed, but they're not necessarily the embodiment of evil.
Yeah.
And it's like got four amazingly kind of like strong, great female lead performances. But I just think it's a film... I think one of the things that's weird about remaking stuff, because, we've got to make it feminist, we've got to make it female. If you take something like the Ghostbusters and then you make that into a female Ghostbusters, of course you're going to ruffle some feathers, cause a bit of... backlash, because it's not that you're deciding to make a version of Ghostbusters that's kind of like got men and women in it, but you're going out of your way to target a specific demographic. It's cynical. It's like saying we're doing an all-female Ghostbusters, we're doing an all-female Ocean's 8, we're doing an all-female, what's the other one that they did an all-female one of? But they've just done a role reversal one of Overboard.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's like, what are you going to do next? Three men and a baby? And all women, three men and a baby. That's a joke that I wrote the other week, and I thought it was brilliant. But do you know what I mean? So it's just sort of like, but when you watch something like Fried Green Tomatoes, this is a really relevant, amazing, exciting, brilliant film anyone can enjoy. Yeah. And it doesn't even occur to you, really, that although it's about women, and it's about four women over like a big sort of like generational divide, it's such a powerful, interesting, funny, heartwarming film. It's basically about not being a cunt. And I think it's something that everyone should watch.
It was a huge movie as well when it came out. Absolutely massive.
It was. And it sort of died away a bit. I just think that basically, I don't know. I just think that you should focus your energies on making good stories that have women in, rather than taking properties that you're never going to, you know, if you're going to make a Ghostbusters film, I don't think people even love Ghostbusters that much as they do. They loved the chemistry between those specific four actors.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I just, and I think that, oh yeah, okay, Sigourney Weaver, Bill Murray, mid-80s, I just think you're not really going to find an equivalent of that now. And so anything's going to be a disappointment unless it's that. And so you might as well just create something else. Why, if you're going to change that much of the stuff, just create something else. Obviously you can't, because you want to have name recognition. But if by having name recognition you're pissing off the original people that like that name in the first place, and I don't think it is something as simple as everyone's a sexist or everyone's a racist and everyone's a thing. I mean, the remake of Ghostbusters was shit. Yeah, there were some good bits in it, but it wasn't a good film. And some of the worst bits were from the original Ghostbusters that appeared in it. And it's sort of like nobody wanted that film. But nobody wanted that film. And so I just think Fried Green Tomatoes, amazing film.
But and I guess that's the thing with the Ghostbusters thing. It kind of doesn't matter in the end, does it? Because it is something nice that people... Like, it is that thing, like you were saying at the time, that what it's actually about is the little girl who dressed up as a Ghostbuster. I guess it's just people seeing themselves, isn't it, on screen?
It's people seeing themselves on screen, yeah.
So there is something nice about it. I remember when Fried Green Tomatoes came out, I think it was Barry Norman or someone, I've got this vision of him going, we shouldn't really call it Fried Green Tomatoes, we should call it Fried Green Tomatoes. Because that's it. And I remember thinking, no, we shouldn't. Let's say Fried Green Tomatoes.
Fried Green Tomatoes. Fried Green Tomatoes. At the Whistle Stop Cafe.
That had a budget of 11 million, but grossed 119 million.
It was such a huge... I remember at the time as well. Who's the... It's Mary Stuart Masterson and... what's her name? Mary Louise Parker. Yes. And Mary Louise Parker, I always remembered, because it starts off with Mary Louise Parker playing like a, I don't know, a 15-year-old. And I think that at the time when I watched it, there was kind of, I think in the book they're lesbians, but in the film it's sort of hinted at. But really, it's not even hinted at. They're basically in love with each other. And I just think it's such a sweet relationship. But Mary Louise Parker, I always thought, you know, she plays like a 15-year-old, and then it's and there's a little girl playing Mary Stuart Masterson, and then they age like 10 years, and then Mary Stuart Masterson comes in, and Mary Louise Parker's there. And at the time, I always thought that Mary Louise Parker was a little bit too old to be playing a 15-year-old. But when you watch it now, she's so young. It's just crazy how young she is. And then they age her up, and it's kind of... I mean, the DVD contains an audio commentary in which the director acknowledges the relationship and points out that a scene between Iggy and Ruth engaging in a food fight was intended to be seen as symbolic lovemaking. Yeah, I can get that. I mean, that's how I make love. I grab a big handful of it and chuck it at them. the other thing I saw, which made me laugh a lot, was that we watched Neil Diamond's remake of The Jazz Singer.
Yeah, you watched all of them.
So The Jazz Singer, right, was made in the 20s. It was the first talkie starring Al Jolson, right, who wears blackface in it, controversially. And then in the 50s it was remade again. I can't remember who was in that one. And then in the 1980 it was remade with Neil Diamond, mm-hmm. who again puts on blackface, which is just absolutely unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. It was 1980, that. The year I was born, and it's got Neil Diamond in it, and he comes out and it's absolutely astonishing that they were still doing that in 1980
it makes you think, like, if you're having that conversation, if someone says, "Hey, do you think we should still do this?" If you're having, and even if there was at the time a kind of hint of maybe yes, maybe no, the answer is probably no, isn't it? Ask yourself,
no.
"Is this all right?"
No,
it's always no. It's not.
They get away with it because he's in an all-black band and they're playing at a black club, and he's reluctant to. He goes, "Oh, I can't play in here. It's a black club." And the black members of the band say, "No, you've got to play with us." So he blacks up, and they
that's
don't.
Not the issue. You. But it's he's like, I can't play it. He'll be all right.
Ernie Hudson's in the audience.
Oh yeah,
right. And he
that's fine.
He's the one that notices that he's not really black because he forgets to do his hands. He's playing guitar and he forgets to do his hands.
I suspect it was quite obvious anyway, wasn't
it? It's a really awkward, horrible moment.
Oh
right?
No.
And it's quite early in the film, but the rest of the film is kind of like this. It's got Neil Diamond in it, and it's all about him playing very religious. He comes from a very religious Jewish background, and he wants to break away and become a star. And he's written all of these songs that I didn't realise were famous Neil Diamond songs from the jazz singer. I've heard them,
okay.
Love on the Rocks and stuff like that, and I've heard them, but I didn't realise he'd written them specifically for the jazz singer. Anyway, so we get to the end of the film, and my girlfriend watches it, and she says, I didn't think it was very good. And I'll tell you who is the worst one in it. The guy that plays his dad is one of the worst actors I've ever seen. And do you know who plays his dad?
Yeah.
Laurence Olivier. It's funny. We were on the South Bank the other day and we went past the statue and I said, it's great, isn't it? Because we've got a very wry sense of humour about our losers in the country. We've built a whole statue for Laurence Olivier, the worst actor in England. So yeah, I just thought, fucking hell, the worst actor. But yeah, Diamond was nominated for both a Golden Globe Award and a Golden Raspberry Award for worst actor for the same role in this movie, winning the latter, the Raspberry Award. 1952 version starred Peggy Lee and Danny Thomas. Right, okay, we're going to play a song now. It was weird.
Oh, yeah.
But I just think that I'm glad I saw it, but fucking hell. A weird time for cinema. Oh, hang on. I'm going to play this Alice Cooper song, right? But he wrote this in 1980.
He's not blacked up, is
skeleton,
he?
He's not blacked up. He wrote this in 1980. It's called Skeletons in the Closet. I'm playing the wrong song. I like this song. I'm not going to bother. I'm doing the wrong intro for the wrong song. I've never done an intro before. This is why.
I see bones.
Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
And we're back live in the studio during August's Edinburgh Festival. Just in case you can crack that.
It could be an Edinburgh Fringe special, couldn't it?
It is an Edinburgh Fringe special. fuck it. This is the first time we've had two guests, isn't it?
It is. We've got two special guests for the first time ever.
So we're joined in the studio by Paul F. Taylor and Becky Shorrocks. Professionally. But you are married, aren't you?
Yeah.
I was at the wedding.
You were?
It's a lovely wedding. Did I tell you the story about your wedding?
What?
Well, the day after the wedding.
No.
The day after the wedding, I stole a bunch of your pens from Bingo.
Yep, and the Dobbers.
Yeah, and I went to the, what was it called? The South Bank Awards, but they sat me behind the cameras. It was sort of a televised thing, but they sat me on the table behind the cameras, which meant that we weren't going to get shown. And I was sat next to Jane Asher and Gemma. I took Gemma Whelan because she's my friend, but also I just didn't like to go to events by myself at the time. And so it was me and Gemma Whelan and Jane Asher and a bunch of other people, and we were sat at this table, and I handed out your dabbers, and every time someone won, we would dab them off on the list of people that got awards. And fuck me, Jane Asher is fucking competitive.
Really?
Yeah, she'd fucking rip your fucking arm off if she could get it.
Have you ever been to Bingo? It's properly...
Well, we had Bingo at your wedding.
Yeah, well, I mean official Bingo. Like, when the old ladies are there, they're intimidating.
Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't call Jane Asher old, but fucking hell, she did date a Beatle, but fucking hell, she was on a professional standard of just, like, knocking people off. Whoa. Best cinematography. Got it. You know, fucking, she'd absolutely smash the room. Best Foley artist, got it.
Those doubles were faulty. Someone borrowed a suit for our wedding, and the top came off his, and it ruined his thing. He had to pay the deposit. So lucky you didn't have any incidents.
Well, Jane did end up with blue all over her face.
That's the price you have to pay.
The band.
Yeah, the band. Oh my God. She's a. Oh my God.
She did date a Beatle.
So she's used to.
She's a boy band.
She's used to having bands on her face. Yeah. So. I mean. Here's a question for you guys. When's your wank day? So I'm on antidepressants, so wank day is a thing of the past. Keep it light, but I haven't come in weeks. So how's Edinburgh going?
Are you allowed to say anything on this show?
I hope so.
It could be edited down.
Yeah, no, not going to be edited down. No one listens. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
No, people do listen. It's growing by the week.
Growing by the week.
First week, it was just my dad, and now my mum's listening, so it's absolutely brilliant stuff.
Hello, Nick's parents.
We're on a roll. like ham and butter, we're on a roll.
Yeah.
So, oh, God, it's difficult being a radio DJ.
It is. It's hard. It's harder than it looks.
Should we talk about Edinburgh?
Yes.
How is it going? How's it going?
We're going in a week.
No, you're not. We're there.
It's a pre-record, so it's happening.
Having lots of fun.
Having lots of fun.
Getting the punters in?
Yep.
What's your venue? Just so you know, right, I think Edinburgh's going to go really well for you. I've seen your show. I think it's a great show. You've worked really hard on it, and I loved it, right?
Thanks.
I'm a big fan of yours, Short and Curly. I don't know how you came up with that name, but I'm a big fan of it. I predict great things for you this year.
Ooh.
Right? But just so you know, right now, it can be anything you want it to be. Yeah?
Oh.
How's your Edinburgh going? getting the clouds in?
Becky, do you want to go on?
Yeah,
I asked Nat.
Because I'm still confused by the whole time delay thing. Like, my brain is not,
I've forgotten
not
now.
Helping with that.
I asked Nat how his Edinburgh was going, and it could have been anything he wanted it to be. He basically predicted the apocalypse. He was like saying, well, no one's turned up and the reviews have been bad. And you go, no, it can be anything you want it to be.
I was trying to project.
Numbers are down this year.
Numbers are down.
Is it the Olympics?
It's the heat.
Yeah.
I think our Edinburgh show is going really, really well at this point. We're just a bit tired, probably.
How are your voices holding up?
They're holding up.
Yeah, because there's a lot of singing in this year's show.
There is as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of singing.
Yeah, and Paul is really proven himself to be quite the vocalist.
Yeah, you wouldn't have seen that coming, would you?
And you got all those props as well. Props are a pain in the arse, but that's working with butt plugs.
They help.
But you got a lot of props in this show, haven't you?
We do. Actually, comparatively less than previous years.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't got any ludicrously big items. We did have like an 8-foot plank of wood in our last show.
That was one of the best. That was one of the best bits.
Yeah, yeah, you had to do it.
What was the concept of the show? We were in the TV, or we came into the TV with you, and we were watching a Western.
It was meant to be all tropes from TV and film. So
yeah,
I was
different
a Western,
genres.
I was a bartender in a Western, and I hung a plank of wood from my neck and slid little shot glasses to people in the audience.
It was amazing.
It was a lot of fun.
But what I really love about it is the fact that you're watching it and you genuinely feel that there is a 50% chance that you could decapitate an audience member.
Yeah, he had to rest it on people's heads.
It was like, it was a plank of wood.
Yeah, the wood was bending with the length
it
was.
And tell me about it. Story of my bloody life. And you were basically swinging it over audiences' heads and people were like ducking.
Yeah.
And because there is a certain amount, because we used to work together as well, you do a thing for a laugh, but in retrospect, you'd realise just how dangerous it was.
Yeah. But I think that element of danger adds to it.
Yeah, absolutely. But we'd end the show with kind of like that entire stage awash with like beer and cocoa pops and everything like that. And then there'd be like Martin Hill would come on and do his thing and it'd be slipping and sliding all over the place. And you'd be thinking, you could fucking die right now.
Yeah, but danger's funny. Like if you do something and it's really stupid, like you shouldn't be doing it, that's really funny.
I think it's really funny.
Like
yeah.
our room last time when we had that bar that was nine metres long. The room was just not the right size for doing that.
But it's also funny that you've got it. It's like the idea that you're doing it at previews and you're carrying around
Paul's
this massive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Paul's dad. We ask him to make us a prop and he really goes to town.
I think that's
it.
Half the joke. I think half the joke is the fact that you're doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like you go,
oh my God. So, you know, I used to do a thing with like magic legs. I'd bend over and there'd be like legs behind me. And it's just like, yeah, it's a funny idea.
I love
but
that.
But even funnier to think that you've lugged it all the way to anywhere. Made it, you know. The fact that you thought of it in the first place is ridiculous enough. I just think I love it. It's like a throwback to, I mean, what you do, it's like it's a throwback to, it's like It's a Knockout, or it's like 1980s, when the, you know, like Fun, I'm not like saying this is
fun
what
house.
You do, but like Fun House, or like.
It's a whole lot of fun.
There's an amazing clip where you got Bobby Davro in the stocks, and the stocks fall over, and the stocks fall over and smash Bobby Davro in the face, and Lionel Blair shouts out, Bobby, no! I mean, it's like that, where it's like it's so slippery on the floor and it's so dangerous, and you just think anything can happen. There's no like regards to safety. It's great. That's Edinburgh.
Yeah, it's like we like to think that our show is like us having as much fun and then trying to make the audience have as much fun as possible. Like at least then everyone's kind of enjoying it.
Yeah.
And it's like just full on sweaty, throw everything at it kind of a thing.
It's great. I mean, I love it. I love your shows because we used to do that, but we didn't have the audiences. So we'd sort of like do a gig in Oxford.
I was always there, Nick.
You were always there.
I remember that one in Oxford you're talking about.
We did we did one in Oxford and we travelled all the way to Oxford and it was at the old Jonglers, wasn't it? It was for a competition. Nobody liked us. I don't think we were shit, but nobody liked what we did.
I remember I spent loads of money on this battery, this specific battery for your amp, and then we got there and I opened it and it didn't fit your amp. So we just kind of threw it on the floor and I just remember driving home going, oh, that was £7.
What we used to do is I used to get a packet of Cocoa Pops, like a full packet of Cocoa Pops, and a full pint of beer, and I'd pour the pint of beer into the packet of Cocoa Pops, and a box of Cocoa Pops, and I'd say, "Al Cocoa Pops," and that was it, right? And I go, makes the beer taste chocolatey, right?
Yeah.
And I did that.
Tip out.
The Cocoa Pops was £4 or £2.80, and the pint was like £4. So that was like an £8 joke, and it would last 10 seconds. It'd be all over the floor. It would be a hazard to everyone's safety. Yeah. And then we'd like drive, and we didn't have the money. We weren't getting paid.
No.
And what would happen was we'd go out of the way to nowhere. We'd be underappreciated, Paul. And then we'd drive home from Oxford, and we'd be together. And it would be like, bloody hell, they hated us. And we'd laugh about it on the way home. But when you do a gig on your own as a stand-up comedian, and you die on your ass, and you have to get the train and then the tube, and then you get home to your... to your parents and you say, oh, it's not, it wasn't my night. Do you know what I mean? That's
have you eaten anything? Just beer and alcohol
anything. I had one bite of beer and alcohol pops.
A bit of popcorn.
I did a sketch show one year in Edinburgh and it felt like easier because you've got other people.
That's
so if you had a horrible thing, you just go, They're awful, aren't they? And part of the reason I have a tech is so I can say that
to them. Yeah, absolutely.
What about the audience?
Yeah, it keeps
your morale up. You keep each other up, don't you? If one of you, hopefully you're not both down at the same time, so you can.
But at least you've also got that shared thing, right?
Yes,
that you can go, like, if you've had a really nice one, you've got a thing where you go, yeah, that's great. And if it's a bad one, you go, it's them. And it's like,
it's
them.
I find bad one, this is really funny.
I can confirm, it's definitely them.
Like, when someone's not laughing, I find it genuinely amusing. when it's me on my own in stand-up, I don't find it as funny because it's so painful.
Yeah.
But like, when it's two of you, you can kind of giggle to each other and go, these guys don't even get that. That's the best joke in the show.
You look at each other and you go, that's awful. But when you are down at the same time, it can spiral. Me and David Trent were on tour. And I got him because, you know, I like him, but he can drive. And we were there on tour. And fucking hell, you'd come off and you'd have like a tough gig and go, fucking hell, that was hard. And you go, yeah, it was. I don't think it helped much that you got so angry with them. And then there'd be no sort of like support in the end of the evening. He's absolutely one of the worst people to confide in at the end of the night. Because he's sort of like, you know, 45 and he hates a lot of things. And he wants to go to bed early, you know.
Oh no!
So you're on tour with. Oh, I don't know why I'm talking about this. I'm just not a fan of David Trent, I guess, and that's not what the point of fan club is. I am a fan of David Trent. I'll take it back. So, what are you guys into? What have you seen? What's your favourite show that you've seen in Edinburgh? Fucking. You don't have to.
That's difficult.
Becky, you were saying just yesterday what your favourite one was on the 27th of April.
What?
August. Oh God, this I can't do it, guys.
What's your favourite film, Paul or Becky?
Oh, okay.
I mean, disappointed.
That's what
my show.
You got Nathaniel.
I find that a very difficult question because I do have a favourite film in each genre.
Oh, that's good.
That's fine.
But one of my all-time favourites. Flight of the Navigator.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd put that in the same category as Batteries Not Included, but carry on.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I also meant that.
I meant that in a bad way, Becky. But
I'm a real fan. Anything with something small like and creature like in it.
Lucky old Paul.
I bought batteries not included, and then I had to go and get some batteries. I'm just a few seconds behind what's actually happening.
Yes. Oh, God. I bought Flight of the Navigator, and then I had to go and get a Navigator. It works on every
It works.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's just the fact that you're doing it that's good.
Flight of the Navigator has quite impressive special effects for the time.
Yeah,
that bit of the stairs.
So, exactly, the liquid crows.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That is really...
CGI?
It feels like it must be, right?
I don't know what it
but
was.
It's a bit early.
But that is exactly why I like it.
I think
and
it was
small
really.
Creature.
Hang on. What's the one with Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yes, that one. Exactly. That was my relationship with SJP developed as well.
Obviously.
I personally find it quite a weird film for me. I just think it's weird. It changes halfway through to be something else. It's a fun little joyous film where a kid goes in a thing and then all of a sudden it's really quite dark.
It's about
dark
a missing child.
Like a missing child.
Much like Patch Adams in that respect.
I've got a lot of time for it. It opens, doesn't it? It opens with a flying saucer that you think's a flying saucer that turns out to be a frisbee that a dog catches in his mouth.
Well, I love that because you go into the film knowing it's about a flying saucer.
Exactly.
And then it starts with a flying saucer and you go, yeah, exactly what I was expecting. And then you realise, boom, it's a fucking frisbee.
They do that in Bigfoot and the Hendersons as well. Starts with a point of view shot of some hands going through the woods.
Yes.
And it turns out to be John Lithgow.
Oh.
The reverse shot.
And that's the thing, isn't it?
Wow.
Because when you call your film the thing from another region that you're terrified of, and it opens with the thing from another region that you're terrified of, you've got nowhere to go.
The opposite of that is Planet of the Apes. If you watch your film Planet of the Apes, it starts off Charlton Heston, they crash land on the Planet of the Apes, they're walking around, they're seeing all this weird stuff. They go, what's happening on this weird planet? And then they go into the reeds, and they're big, tall reeds, and then there's all these things coming after them. And it cuts to an ape on horseback, but it's like a big zoom in, and you go, it's called Planet of the Apes, though. So you should know. Like, it's not like a reveal.
Yeah, like the big reveal.
It's like, I mean, what did you think going in? Yeah. Like if it was called The Planet, and you go, oh, what's weird about this planet? But when it just comes in, you go, it's called Planet of the Apes, there's a big reveal of an ape on a horse, and it's like, yeah. Yeah. But that's what we're expecting.
But no, because the reveal, it's a double reveal, isn't it? It's called Planet of the Apes, yeah. And it's Earth, right?
Sure.
And so, but they've ruined that by having the Statue of Liberty on the poster.
Yes.
So it's called Planet of the Apes with the Statue of Liberty on it. And you go, I know, it's like Inception. It's like, it's a spoiler within a spoiler within a spoiler.
You've got
a
button for that.
Absolutely.
Spoiler!
I think they should have put a question mark at the end. Planet of the Apes? Maybe not.
It should be called Earth in the Future.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
That would be a better title.
Yeah.
I mean, the reveal would work, wouldn't it, as well? Just called Earth in the Future.
The reveal would absolutely work. Mm. Statue of Liberty's in
not
it
so
at
much.
The end.
Yeah.
You know? Tim Burton's going to do a remake. That's what they could call the original, couldn't they? Of course, they'd have to know that Tim Burton was going to get born.
When we're recording this, Tim Burton would have released that, won't he?
That will be out by now.
Right, by then that'll be out, right, yeah, okay.
Tim Burton.
They're recording this in 1988.
Yeah, and then it's coming out in 2018.
What's
at
the cinema at the moment? Flight of the Navigator.
We're just talking about what we've seen this week.
Paul Rubens does the voice of the thing, doesn't he? Pee-wee Herman.
In what?
Yeah.
I always thought it was a Pee-wee Herman impersonator. I think it might actually be a Pee-wee Herman impersonator. Can we look this one up, Natalie? Rather than actually Paul Rubens. Because Pee-wee Herman was a huge TV star at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the alien comes along and absorbs all of popular culture.
He does.
And he does a Pee-wee Herman impression,
yeah.
But I think that it's an impersonation of Pee-wee Herman rather than Paul Rubens. But I think a lot of people wrongly report that it is actually Paul Rubens himself. I would beg to differ, but we're just waiting for Natalie to bring in the fact. I've got to keep talking until I'm interrupted, guys. What do you think? Do you think it's Paul Rubens?
I didn't know it was supposed to be. Paul Rubens is...
credited as Paul Mall as the voice of Max.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's a fact I knew not of. Flight of the Navigator.
Paul Rubens doing a voiceover job there. So he's
I like it though. I've got a lot of time for Flight of the Navigator.
Thank you, Nat. I prefer Flight of the Navigator. Its Batteries Not Included.
I actually find the creepy stuff about him going missing. I quite like that in a kids' film.
Yeah.
I quite like a creepy kids' movie in general. I like Time Bandits and things where you go back and his, you know, his parents have just been roasted at the end and things. And you go, it's creepy.
There's really celebrities horrible. That go on a television show and.
Right.
And as a small person, it was terrifying to think that you
Becky,
went back.
You've always been a small person.
You went to your front door, and your mum and dad weren't there anymore, and that is terrifying.
Yeah. And I like the bit where he's in the future, and his little brother's all grown up and things.
Yeah,
that's quite a creepy idea.
What are we talking about now? Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I've never sat all the way through Time Bandits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
I think we were watching it at school once. And we were all sat in the school hall, which was the dining room and the gym, and we had a TV wheeled on one of those still
things. They always had them on wheels, didn't they?
On wheels. TV made of wood, weren't they? Yeah. Like a wooden video recorder.
Yeah.
And a kid wet himself, and right in the middle, we were all sat in rows, and he wet himself, and the piss spread.
In all directions,
wow. Just sort of like from an epicenter of this kid,
like a flood,
and it just all flooded out from this kid, and we all ran away, and we missed the end of Time Bandits.
Not surprised.
So do you get to a point in that film now where you're like, oh, got to turn it off, this is when the piss happens?
I don't watch it because
I have a bit in Star Wars where I recorded it as a kid on VHS, and I did it on off of ITV, and it came to these adverts, and I would watch the adverts years later, and I had this recording I watched for like 10 years. And at a certain point of Star Wars, I always think of Weetabix. Even when I'm like watching like them, because it's just ingrained in my brain now. I'm like, oh, I'd like some Weetabix right
now. I've got a similar story about Basic Instinct.
Is it Weetabix?
Yeah.
What?
Sorry, I was. I was thinking of Weetabix. I was thinking about fucking a Weetabix.
Oh, why are these Weetabix all broken?
Was that another Helm and Taylor bit?
Yeah. And they all pour beer on it.
Oh, it's such a lot of fun. What about you, Paul?
There's so many films.
Is there anything that Becky makes you sit through that you absolutely hate?
Well, mostly TV shows, yeah. I've currently watched inadvertently, and this isn't a film, but I've watched a lot of Love Island lately, and I don't really feel like...
I have to say, it doesn't have to be a film. It can be anything. It could be a book that you've read. That's never a book, but it could be.
Could be.
Sometimes Becky's reading the book and I'm there and I'm like, oh, can't we read something else?
Love Island.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not talk about that.
She loves Sex and the City 2, which I think is one of the most dreadful films I've ever seen.
I don't love it. I just, I tolerate it.
So you like Sex and the City as well as Love Island? Or
who, me?
Or Sex and the City?
I do like Sex and the City, the movie. I like
Sex and the City as well?
Yes.
Or I think that's funny when they do like Look Who's Talking To.
Oh, T-double-O.
A Nightmare on Elm Street also.
Yes.
You know.
It made sense with Teen Wolf.
Die Hard again.
Yeah.
Because it was also, it's saying, he's also Teen Wolf. You can't afford Michael J. Fox. Yeah. So this guy's also Teen Wolf.
We were lucky to get him in the first place.
Splash 2, that was the sequel.
Is that T-double-O?
Splash, that's T-double-O. Mm-hmm. But I never saw that one, didn't have Tom Hanks. Or Daryl Hannah. I don't know. Oh. I imagine Eugene Levy was in it. But who knows?
I didn't watch it.
But if you're anything like me, I imagine Eugene Levy is in a lot of things. Oh. When I'm at home, I don't have a film to hand to watch. Yeah. I just sit down and I imagine Eugene Levy being in a movie.
You made me and Becky watch Mannequin 2
on the moon.
Yeah, well, we were all in bed together.
Yeah, we were all in bed. We all went. It was at the end of one of my birthday parties, and it was always a sad affair because I was always very sad and alone. And we all went into bed together, and we watched. And I made you watch Mannequin on the Move.
And you kept checking we were awake
by shaking you. Yeah. Wake up!
Okay, you're missing a good bit. Mannequin on the Move is a film I went to see with my sister at the cinema in St Albans at the St Albans Odeon, and we were the only two people. In the film. We were the only two people there, and it never happened before or since. It's pretty close, but it was a real fucking luxury where you can get up, you can run around, you can fucking stick your fingers up at the screen if you're not enjoying the film. You know, it's
have you ever done that? Have you ever gone to the cinema and been the only people in the screen?
Yeah, happens to
more
me
more or
lot.
Less. Yeah,
as a comedian, you're always looking for things to do when you're doing a weekend away, so often I'll go to like a 12 o'clock screening and then go, oh, I'm the only guy in here watching this.
Little private viewing.
Mm. Yeah.
What's your favourite song?
Favourite song? Oh, now you're asking.
I mean, you've already told us. I'm about to play it.
Oh, you're about to play it? Oh.
Proud Mary.
Can't remember what it... Proud Mary, yes.
Is this your karaoke song by any chance?
Well, we have thought about doing it together, but it's just one that I have always grown up with. Tina Turner, I'm sorry. I love her story as well, her life story.
Are you going to go see the Tina musical?
What's love got to do with it? I might do.
It's meant to be good. It's meant to be good.
Is it?
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I walked past it the other day,
then,
and
yes,
I'm going to get tickets for my mum.
I was going to get tickets for my dad.
Right, yeah, I think that it's... bloody hell. It's very risky with those things. I mean, I've seen some stuff. I mean, I wasn't so keen on, you know... I'm going to say it. I thought Young Frankenstein was fine, but I saw The Bodyguard, and that was pretty. The film, the show, the acting bits were awful, but Beverly Knight, it was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Like standing ovations all round.
Oh, wow.
We were in the circle as well, so we were in danger of falling over and dying. But it was worth it, because Beverly Knight was one of the best things we've ever seen. And I think that Tina Turner thing could go either way, couldn't it? If you've got a really great... I don't know who's in it, but...
Is it the same story as What's Love Got to Do with the film,
I don't
which
think so.
I love with Lawrence Fishburne?
I think it's kind of... Maybe, but it's going to be like a jukebox musical, isn't it? So it's kind of like, it'll probably tell the story of Tina Turner through songs in her life. Right. Bat Out of Hell's going to be good as well. I'm going to play this song because we were running ridiculously out of time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. There's just one thing.
Down in the city.
You see, we'd never, ever do nothing.
Working for the man.
Nice.
Every night and
easy.
Day.
We always
well,
do it.
I never lost
nice.
1 minute.
It's rough.
And
but we're going to take the beginning of this song.
The thing might
and do it
been.
Easy.
Big wheel.
But then we're going to do the finish.
Turning.
Rough.
Proud Mary.
It's the way we
keep
do.
On burning.
Proud Mary.
Keep on turning. Proud Mary, keep
Great song. We really enjoyed that. That was brilliant. We've got 4 minutes left, and we've got 3 minutes 20. Let's play the game.
Okay. This game is better or worse, where you have to say whether the next person is better or worse than the person before.
Okay.
We've got music, Nick.
Oh, shit. Fucking.
Spoiler! Okay. Helen Mirren is the first card. Is Judi Dench better or worse than Helen Mirren?
Better.
She is better.
Yeah, better.
She is better.
You've got to have the same response.
Oh, sorry, better.
Is Ewan McGregor better or worse than Judi Dench?
Worse.
She is. He is worse. Martin Scorsese. Is he better or worse than Ewan McGregor?
Better.
Yeah. Dustin Hoffman.
You're just saying what
better
she's saying.
Better or worse than Martin Scorsese?
Better.
I'm going to say worse.
Oh, what, jog on? Who was better than what?
Dustin Hoffman. I'm saying he's worse than Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Emma Thompson, better or worse than Dustin Hoffman?
Worse.
I was going to say better.
I'm going to say better.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Oh, Becky.
You can probably win by doing the opposite.
Oh, yeah, okay. I like Dustin Hoffman.
It's a high card. Yeah. Dustin Hoffman's a high card.
Sure. Russell Crowe, better or worse than Emma Thompson?
Worse. Come on.
Oliver Reed, better or worse than Russell Crowe?
Better.
Tom Cruise, better or worse than Oliver Reed?
Worse.
Laurence Olivier, that's Fan Club, better or worse than Tom Cruise?
Better.
Is that it?
That's it.
That was
great.
Rattle through it. So what's your show called? Short and Curly?
Young at Start.
And that's a pun, isn't it? It is.
I literally start young at the beginning.
4:30, Pleasant Start.
Yeah, but it's a pun on young at heart.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But we decided we didn't like that song, so we've not got it in.
So you've got the... Oh, it's a Beautiful South.
I can't stand that song.
I can't stand a Beautiful South. That's not Fan Club.
Eight points you got for that.
That's brilliant.
That's pretty good.
That's four each, though, when you break it down. Which is still one better than Sam Ashurst. but fucking hell. Three. Who gets three? You're doing great. We haven't got the whole leaderboard at the moment, but it's very much a Saturday Kitchen type vibe. We'll work it out at the end of this season.
You'll have it by August.
The Young at Start, what time is it on?
4:30, Pleasant Courtyard.
So you can see, you're going to have to run off with Nat at the end of this show. He can do his show
in 10 minutes.
He'll help you with your props. What's the name of your show? Where is it on?
It's Pleasant Flat, Short and Curly, Young at Start.
You're in the Pleasants?
Yeah.
This is great news. Yeah. Brilliant. You'll like the Pleasants.
Will we?
Yeah.
Well, it's very near to FUBAR, isn't it? They could probably hear this.
That is true, but I've done the Pleasants. I'm not trying to suck up to them, but in my book, it is the venue. It's a venue, and have a nice time.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with the rest of your run.
Thanks for having us.
I just want to say I'm a big fan of both of you, and I love you very much.
Love you too.
Thanks.
If you want while living fast, and if you want to end up giving your all, let me call. Pussycat is living reckless. Pussycat is right high. If you think that you can tame her, well, just you try. It's sad she doesn't say what's wrong from right. She's running fast and free, child of the night. In her life there'll be no time for love. You'll never take. You will find Pussycat, she's living reckless. Pussycat, she's riding high.